announcing that we have selected dates and destinations for our next international business investment and jobs trip. After a lot of reflection, considering a lot of alternatives, I believe the best prospects for insourcing jobs involve Japan and Korea, and that'll be our itinerary this time during the month of June. I think given the very large customer base we already have from Japan, also an upsurge in interest in Korea in investing and bringing dollars and jobs to the states, that looks to us as like the best targets. We'll take a smaller group than last year. You may recall that the enormous interest in this subject from all parts of the state led to our having a group last year that was twice as big as it had ever gone anywhere on Indiana's behalf before. Largest group from any state to visit Japan. And it was fun, but it was borderline unwieldy. And so this year, I think we'll take a, I'll say more typically sized group, but I do hope it'll be similarly high in quality, business leadership, governmental leadership, and of course, economic development people. I just believe in light of, particularly of recent events, it is very important to say that Indiana intends to compete and not retreat from the world economy. And that I don't want any doubt in the minds of firms in other parts of the world that Indiana is welcoming to the jobs and investments that I believe it is a central duty of any governor of any state today to pursue.
Governor, in line with that, state officials in Toledo are expected to make a big announcement on Monday. It's expected to involve, the Camry, I guess, line being brought here. Will you be at that announcement? Mm-hmm. Will you shine any more light on what that will entail?
I'll just say this is something we've been working on hard for a long time. And you are absolutely correct that something will happen Monday.
Thank you.
So you didn't really intend to write anything, right?
Governor, okay. You said in light of recent events, could you explain a little more? I mean, you mean that Indiana, have we looked xenophobic with the debate over religion?
Well, you don't have to take it from me. This has been said now widely, and I just, again, I think it would be very destructive to the economic hopes of this state for anyone to conclude that Hoosiers are not interested, in fact, eager to compete successfully for investment from anywhere. And therefore, we were going to make this trip sometime in the first half of this year anyway. I just think it's especially important now. I don't want anyone in Japan, Korea, or anywhere else in the world to misunderstand. We are not rolling the clock back in this state, you know, to believe that we should retreat as opposed to compete. And the world economy is a formula for poverty in Indiana, and I'm not going to allow that to be the impression anywhere.
It seems, though, that it may not just be in Indiana. So we just heard in recent days about the ports essentially going under. Do you think that this is part of a larger trend?
Well, let's hope not for America's sake. I'm tempted to say that if other states want to pursue a very backwards, insular, self-defeating policy of poverty, let them, and we'll pick up the winnings here in Indiana. This week, and you remember, we were happy to welcome the world's largest biodiesel plant to the northern part of our state. The firm has a French mailing address. I think that's great. Glad to have their money, glad to have the jobs and the new purchases of Indiana ag products that'll happen at that plant. And should something happen Monday in Lafayette, I think it'll send exactly the same message. No, I hope America won't adopt that, even though it might work to Indiana's advantage. Once again, among many ironies, the port situation everybody thought was fine, those who didn't want the change to happen, is management by a European firm, which is exactly what's contemplated, for instance, in the case of our lease.
Governor, we look at Major Musso and the fact that granted, you know, Democrats have expressed their opposition, but you have so many issues from Republicans in the north, the ones along the I-69 corridor. If Major Moves doesn't go through, is it your party that has to bear responsibility?
Well, first of all, I think it will go through. We've been making lots of compromises. We made several to move it through the House, others to move it through the Senate, and there'll be more in the conference. Been compromises all along the way. I really think we're down to maybe one last detail now. So I feel pretty good that by being flexible and really, I think, seeing the bill improved along the way. For instance, Major Moves will make it possible to avert for years a toll increase for passenger cars that otherwise would have been necessary to stop the losses that the toll road's been experiencing. So I think that was an improvement. And there are many others. And I do think we'll get there. I'll just say that if there had been any bipartisanship at all, this would have been a lot easier. But that's life.
What's that one last detail?
We're working on the issues really related to Perry Township tolling on the any potential I-69. And I think there's a variety of ways to accommodate everybody's concerns.
You mentioned the toll freeze, I guess. Mm-hmm. That wasn't in the Senate bill as it left. Are you saying that you've agreed to that now?
Well, I agreed to it in the House, and I would certainly agree to it in a conference report. And I'll just say, I think that although I didn't think of it, it was a good idea. There is so much money available to the northern counties, well beyond, far beyond what it takes to build all the state roads, to fund the Northwest RDA, which I still am firm about, provide money directly to those counties for their own activity, and still there is more. And I think the idea of a dividend to protect passenger motorists up there from an increase for several years is a pretty good idea.
Sorry, your ad started with Major Moves starting here. Uh-huh. Yeah. Starting to raise more funds. Mm-hmm. Is that for more ads, or what's that for? Because it obviously is for Major Moves, is it?
Well, it might be. A great Hoosier newspaper instructed me earlier this week that one of my challenges as a leader is to help ordinary Hoosiers understand the need for continued change. That says, do you need to better communicate your vision to the state? That would help. Well, I think that's good advice. I try to do that every way I can. I have made as many personal appearances as I could physically make. I've held as many press conferences and spoken through the medium of the news media as often as I could. And I'm gone beyond. We've spent money that I suppose we could have hoarded in some political account because I believe in this. I think it's right for Indiana. I think it's a tremendous opportunity to bring jobs and hope to our state. And that is more important to me than any political campaign.
What the deadline is, or are there any other ideas that you have on the table you're going to try and do other than going
well,
to TV?
We've been making it up as we go along. I have been surprised how difficult it's been. Mayor Daley didn't have these problems, but as we've encountered arguments and opposition and sometimes confusion, I've just wanted to do everything I can. I want our fellow citizens. I don't just want to pass this bill. I want our fellow citizens to understand what a great thing it is for our future and our kids' future. And I'm willing to go to all these extra lengths. You know, this is what we believe we came to government to do. And it's more important to me than election campaigns that may or may not ever happen in the future.
There's an ad campaign that started today, our radio station, oddly enough. It's like an independent truckers association saying that Major Moves is bad. They cite Warren Buffett, talk about foreigners having control of state assets. Any thought, yeah. Reaction to that?
Free speech, you know, fair country, even for arguments that I don't think have merit or are even based on sometimes on falsehoods, but perfectly free speech. I will point out that with the exception of this group, whoever they are, all the other transportation and trucking organizations are supporting Major Moves. In fact, those were the first compromises. We visited with them at this table at length about ways to graduate and moderate the toll changes. to make sure that it was good for the trucking industry. So I think there's a fringe group even within its own industry.
Governor, you sound way more confident about the success of Major League than the House Speaker sounded yesterday. He's counting his members' votes, and I don't think he has them yet. Is there something that you know that he doesn't?
I disbelieve that we are making progress steadily, and even since he gave you those comments, we have gained a little strength. And again, I think that by being very open to compromises, either that members suggest or that we propose to them, we are reducing the issues, and I think we'll eventually get them to zero. And I think there's also plenty of time left to do that. I don't know. We'll have some, but I don't know. I'm going to let members speak for themselves, but I believe the answer to that will be yes.
On the Perry Township issue, is one of the things you're considering is just building I-69 as a freeway, the entire stretch?
All I can really say about that is that we're searching for a compromise that accommodates the concerns of people, let's say from Martinsville North, but allows the project to go forward without some further long delay in a project that's 20 years overdue now. And I do think there are some formula that will permit that.
Would that be not tolling the Perry Township part and tolling the rest?
It could mean any combination of changes that does allow the project to move forward. The project will be in better shape by far if we can pass this bill. The process has finally lumbered along to where most of the I's are dotted, but there's no money. And the bill, even if it changes somewhat, will at least change that in a significant way. It will provide resources to the state, and I hope at least the possibility of other revenue through some tolling somewhere that allows us to get the thing built in a way that's friendly to Hoosier taxpayers. Well, you'll just have to ask those folks. But I'll just say that had lots of direct and friendly conversations, and everyone understands everyone's concerns. We're just trying to find a way to accommodate everybody from Evansville North.
Is moving it still on the table?
I'm sorry?
So is moving it still on the table? And if so, starting where and ending where?
Jennifer, I don't have anything additional to say. We want to accommodate people's concerns consistent with protecting our ability to build this long overdue and long-promised road. This is the only plan that gives 69 a chance. I think one reason that the opposition has these concerns have surfaced so strongly now is that in the past people thought there was no chance of ever doing it, of ever building it. And now there's a real prospect of doing that because of major moves, and so that's why these issues have come forward and have to be addressed now.
Governor, have you talked to the federal government, or has anybody from your office talked to them about what would happen on all the environmental impact studies? What would the delay be if we changed that path?
Well, I'll refer you to others. It's just that if you don't have to change very much in an official way to cause extensive delays, throw the door open to even nuisance litigation and the sort of things that have plagued this project for decades now, and the time for that's really passed.
Do you think that the poll numbers that were cited in that great Hoosier newspaper you talked about a few minutes ago earlier this week, that you had about 37%, has given some lawmakers pause and sort of sticking by you in that sentence? You may not care about polls, but they're all up for re-election come November.
I fully appreciate that, and I think what I'm struck by is the degree of statesmanship I see. People who know this is good for Indiana, good for our kids' futures, a necessary step if we're really going to have an economic comeback, I think are hanging in and prepared to, as I am, to keep talking with our fellow citizens about why this is a right thing to do, and an imperative thing to do. And, you know, I think that you folks have covered enough people who run like rabbits at the sign of a somebody's poll numbers. And what's striking to me is that that's not happening here. And the people who are doing what they believe, and they're right, is the right thing for this state, ought to be commended for it.
Well, this is obviously a pretty critical weekend for the final. Will you be at the State House this weekend, maybe try to work on some of these major news issues?
Be at the State House, cell phones, Blackberries, computer terminals, and anywhere I need to be. I do intend to spend a little time at watching Big Ten basketball, but I'm sure that my trusty waist-mounted unit will be buzzing even there.
Obviously, major news is your main priority. Are there any other subjects that are you're really hoping lawmakers will get down to agreeing on in the next couple days?
Sure, plenty. Just mention one of many that I believe now is on its way to my desk. We've worked very, very hard on the Fire Academy. You will know this as the Fire Works Bill, but the commitment I made to Indiana firefighters, who are among the only firefighters in America who have not had an academy or any standardized training, was that we would get that done for them someday, and this is the vehicle for doing it. We spent a lot of time on this, and I'm very, very pleased about it. Here's another long-time dream, which is going to become real. It's going to be good for our firefighters and first responders and all the people they protect. And incidentally, it will, I think, end some an awkward situation around fireworks in which we have, in essence, led a lot of honest people to fudge the truth. And you know how that works. And by the way, while we were at it, I asked him to see if we could create at least a modest statewide disaster fund. It's an idea I got from Governor Hunt of North Carolina when he visited here, and he and I were talking about education. In a side conversation, I was talking about the recent tornadoes, the tragedies we'd gone through. And Governor Hunt told me that he had found a way in North Carolina to create a state disaster fund, so you didn't have to wait on the federal government. At least in the most extreme cases of hardship, the state could act directly to help people who'd been the victims of some natural disaster. I thought that was a great idea, and this bill will also allow us to begin such a fund.
Governor, this bill gives my neighbor and your neighbor carte blanche to fire off any range of flying and exploding in very loud devices that could affect me, set fire in my property, your property. Are you satisfied with that?
Well, I'm satisfied that the people responsible for fire safety in this state have been working on this for weeks now, and if they believe a good balance of the interest has been struck, then I'll put my confidence in them. You know, again, it's not as though...
not on the safety issue.
No, they are very interested in the safety issues. That's why it's one reason why this... combination has never happened before. So,
what safety protections are in the bill?
Well, it hasn't gotten to me yet, so I'll read it in its completeness when it does. But the folks who are, again, who are very interested in that subject, I believe, think that it balances the interests effectively. It's not as though these fireworks have not been used all over the state as it is, and we have. This is one of those cases where we've had a law on the books that we didn't enforce and probably couldn't enforce. And I said that we were never comfortable with that situation, having taken an oath to enforce them all. The new one will, I think, have the advantage of full enforceability, and we'll make sure that it is.
Governor, what about there's NDOT? There's been a
Now, this non-issue is evaporating, of course. The apologies to this good and decent, extraordinarily decent public servant have begun. He's owed more apologies still. And I hope that as people apologize to him, they will take a minute to thank him for the enormously important work he and his team of fraud fighters through state government are doing. You know, the real ethical questions involve things like stealing welfare money, like printing phony IDs, like offering bribes to public officials for state business, like falsifying to the tens of thousands of dollars of travel vouchers. These and many more things he and his folks are working hard every day to catch and clean up. 36 cases have gone to prosecution, and as people apologize to him for the erroneous, as it turns out, besmirching of his pristine reputation, I hope they'll take a minute to say, you know, good job on all the real stuff.
Whether there was a quid pro quo involved or not, should someone in his position be talking about state employment?
His actions were utterly innocent, and the apology and the retraction of the fella involved makes that very plain.
Governor, your three education bills, ISTEP, DREG, and Dollars to the Classroom have taken a good beating along the way and aren't...
Refinement.
Can you figure out why they're having such trouble accepting your education initiatives?
Well, there are a lot of deeply vested interests all across education, but I think we're going to, and we won't get maybe every single reform or change that we ask for, but I think the prospects are really very, very good for the dollars to the classroom and also for the deregulation, which is part of freeing up dollars to the classroom. So it's all being worked on very hard, and I'm being kept posted, but we're going to make a big step forward here, and things that I think most educators, principals, superintendents, school boards, and teachers have wanted for a long time. Less time on red tape, less time complying with regulations, more time teaching kids, more freedom to spend less on overhead, more on textbooks and teacher pay. And we may not get the complete job done this year, but we'll take a big step, and maybe next in future years we can take some more.
Governor, are you confident that NDOT, if Major Mode passes, NDOT is up to the task of doing all the road construction? Because in your report that you issued last summer, NDOT had the most red.
Yes.
And it's the metrics that you guys have set out.
It's a very important question, and I've already begun talking about it to all the leadership of NDOT. If we should be successful and put Indiana in the uniquely fortunate position to have money in the bank to be able to build all the things we cannot build otherwise, you can bet I'll be all over them, NDOT, to rewrite the rules of building roads, break the records in building roads as we have broken the mold in financing them. The most important thing we can do after Major Moves passes is to get the money back in the ground in new public assets that we can leave to our kids. The whole point here is to create new roads and bridges and connections so that jobs will come into existence. And I will be, I've told them already, if we pass this bill, they're going to have an enormous new problem. Me. Because I'm an amateur about these things. I don't understand why everything can't happen very quickly.
Do you think we need to explain to Hoosiers, though, so that they don't think everything is going to get done immediately? It is a 10-year plan. Some of those roads we don't have land for, we don't have engineering for yet.
Yes. Well, very true. I don't know what warp speed is, but that's what we'll go to. But even at warp speed, it will take years, of course, to spend four, really more like $5 billion when you count the interest that we'll be earning. That's a great problem to have, but it is certainly true that it will take time to do. But I'll be interested and eager to see it happen as fast as possible, because I want to collect the real profits here. The real profits to Indiana are not the interest we'll earn. It's the jobs we'll earn and the income from those in the pockets of Hoosiers as we get these roads built. Let me just make a point that I think is obvious to y'all. The Dreyfus plant and all the other ethanol and renewable fuels plants that are exploding all over Indiana, we've gone from one to probably 15 by the end of next year. In every single case, one of those cases, transportation connections, roads in specific, is a decisive factor. We won a big competition for the Cisco company up in Stark County, 500 new jobs at a big distribution center. They called the Kalamazoo paper, who wrote a story about how Indiana won again, what happened, and the answer was they had a two-lane road, 131. They had no money to expand it. So Cisco came to Indiana rather than Michigan. If something should happen by chance on Monday, just in that event, you will see again that road transportation is decisive, and it's an important competitive advantage for our state. So that's why you want to get the money back in the ground as fast as possible. The real profit to our state, the most important profit, is the jobs our kids will have, because we got the best road network in America. It will be both, but we will definitely revisit important customers. I think this is very good practice anyway. And by the way, it's very much a Japanese practice. It's very customary in Japan for the leader of a business, sometimes at the Japanese New Year, to go call on the best customers and simply say thank you for your business, for your patronage. I don't want our 200-plus Japanese investing partners to think last year's trip was a one-time flyby. And so we will definitely be revisiting as many as we can, but there are some very important companies that we didn't see last time that I've already specified I want to add to the list.
Your Democratic opponents have said that the reason why so many Hoosiers oppose major moves is that it's not that they don't understand, it's that they do understand exactly what's going on, and that's why they oppose and they accuse your administration of being arrogant and explain, well, if people just understood it, they'd get it. But the Democrats said they do understand it, that's why they don't like it. What's your response?
Well, respectful disagreement. There's much that I think folks don't understand or have been misled about. People keep calling it a sale. It isn't. People say we'll lose control. We won't. People say the money will be gone. No, it won't. You'll be driving on it. Your kids will be working in businesses along it. Fundamental things like this. But, again, we have a First Amendment for a reason, and it protects even speech which is misguided or purposely false. Well, first of all, I think
I
well, there may be some. I mean, I think our partisan opposition opposes it not because they think it won't work, because they're afraid it will work. And some of you have written that very, very eloquently and directly, so I'll just refer you to your own analysis. I'm sorry, I didn't complete maybe this. I should probably complete just a moment. As earlier discussion, I hope, reflected, I've been compromising at every step along the way, from the truckers' meeting through the Senate, the House, and now the conference committee. I'm always willing to do that in pursuit of what I think is a big objective that's worth it. And I think that any claim that we're closed-minded is unfair and contradicted by the facts. Last question.
The big economic development announcements have all involved the national or international firms. You mentioned Cisco, Dreyfus, statewide mobility partners, et cetera. What's wrong with the picture where Hoosier companies aren't competing for Hoosier investments and Hoosier jobs?
Well, I wouldn't quite look at it that way. First of all, Sally Mae's a Hoosier company with 20-some hundred employees, going now to 3,000, and they expanded here. The Schneider company that Mayor Peterson and I went out and heralded a very dramatic expansion of their activities, high-paying architectural and engineering jobs out here in Lawrence, is a homegrown Hoosier company. I will say that, and have for 2 years, we've got to, part of our economic strategy's got to be to start and grow more businesses in this state. But it just can't be either or. We have to hit on every single cylinder if we're really going to turn around a long-term trend like the decline of net income in Indiana. And so you're right, but we also have to be as successful as we can be at growing the businesses that are already here and at bringing new investment in to create business jobs we don't have now. Thanks.